Excellent seeing. Thank you, Brother Calvin, for that. Take your Bibles, Titus in chapter number 2. Titus in chapter number 2. I'm excited that you're here this morning and looking forward to this time together in God's Word as we continue in our series, Parenting with Purpose. And this is lesson number 5, week number 5 in this series. Last week, we began a lesson entitled Expressing Loving Support, the most important aspect of raising children or parenting, this idea of expressing loving support. And we began this series or this lesson last week, and today we desire to conclude that if the Lord will allow. Titus in chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 3, the Bible says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." And of course, this reminder is given from the Lord that the elder women, of course, we don't have any of those in our class, would teach the younger women, that's the ladies of our class, to love their husbands, to love their children. That love there is phileo love. It's the brotherly love. It's the love and kindness that we are to show. And God reminds us the importance as parents of expressing loving support for our children. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. It's like the story of the kids that were up in the attic and they were going through some of the things that were being stored up there, and they were going through some old letters that their parents had written one to another. And as they were thumbing through those and reading through those and discussing them kind of back and forth, the young man said to his sister, "You know, these aren't the names that the mom and dad call each other now." And sometimes in our relationship, it shifts from that day that we met to the day that we found love to the day that we got married. And then the Lord began to bless our family with children. And then if we're not careful, life gets hectic and lots of things get going. And we can lose this element of expressing loving support in our relationships. And so we want to be reminded of this today and learn how we can do it effectively. Now, last week, we spent some time studying the first two components, which were how can we express loving support through, number one, unconditional commitment, and then number two, scheduled times together. And I'm not going to take a lot of time today to review that material. You can visit GabrielRule.com and click on our class logo on the homepage, and that will take you to a page where you can listen to last week's lesson and download the outline and follow along. So I'll encourage you to do that, and we'll save some time by way of review. And we'll jump right in. How can we express loving support to our children in addition to this unconditional commitment to them and to our spouse? In addition to scheduling times together, what can we do? Well, number three and brand new material today, availability to children. One of the ways that we can express unconditional love and support to our children is by being available to them, availability to children. And we need to communicate to our children that we are available to them, both during scheduled and unscheduled times. We spent a lot of time last week talking about the importance of scheduled time, the importance of family nights, the importance of family vacations, the importance of one-on-one time with each child individually each week, and the importance of those things that will be helpful and beneficial. But then it's important in the relationship with our children that there is just an understanding of availability to our children, that they have access to us at any time they need us. Now, I recognize that some of our guys are going to be working someplace where maybe there's not an opportunity for your spouse or your children to get a hold of you at work or during certain parts of the day, and that's understandable, but I'm just saying this morning, as much as you can be accessible to your family. Let them know you're available to them, that they can access you at any time that you can humanly make possible in case they need you. This is huge. It's helping you to express loving support, and it is elevating the value that they hold in your eyes. Now, dads, it's natural for us to get engrossed in our work and to really get going in that and to strive to do well, and we should, provide for our homes. But we have to evaluate, why are we working? In other words, we're working to provide for our family, to move forward the work of the Lord, but we want to be sure that we're not doing it to the detriment of our own homes. You see, children would much rather have time with you than more money in the family bank account. Now, the needs of the family should be met, and that which is the Lord should be honored, but when it comes to what type of lifestyle you're going to live, don't sacrifice family time for a luxurious level of living, if you will, in some area. Family time is more important. Your time with your children and availability to them is far more important than having a nicer level or more comfortable level of living, if you will. It's going to mean more to them that you're spending time with them than it is that you're preparing, you know, their way for college. It would be good probably for them to work through college anyway. And so make sure that you're stressing that you're available to them and that you are wanting to spend time with them. Sometimes parents are reluctant to communicate to their children how valuable these children are to us. And we need to let them know regularly that they're important to us, that we love them, and that they have access to us. So how can we express loving support availability to children? Number four, through tender treatment. Tender treatment. Another aspect of communicating love to our children is how we act while we're with them. Children need to be treated tenderly. Gentleness and tenderness are of prime importance as we're dealing with our children. And sometimes in family life and in the management of the home, it's difficult to treat our children tenderly. At times, maybe we get flustered or frustrated or we're trying to meet the needs of our kids, and you know, we just got them bathed and in clean clothes, and moments later everything is dirty, or ladies, you just prepared the meal and now everybody has enjoyed lunch and you just finally got it all put away, and here comes one of the kids running into the kitchen, "Mom, when are we going to eat?" And it just seems like some of these things, there's never a rest, and sometimes there's just always something when it comes to family life. And we need to be careful in the midst of the busyness and the hecticness of just basic natural family life that we are sensitive to the fact that we're treating our children tenderly. They need tender treatment from us as mom and as dad. And yes, there needs to be times in our children's life where they are corrected, where they are instructed, where they are disciplined. We'll learn more about that next week. But as those times happen, it still should be done with tenderness. When it comes to teaching and training and disciplining and correcting our children, it should not be done in a way that is harsh or that is full of anger, but it should still be done from a loving, tender heart. For some families in our class, that may mean making a decision, we're not going to yell in our home. For some families in our class, that may mean making a decision, we're not going to curse in our home. For some in our class, it may mean I'm not going to discipline or speak to my children in anger anymore. I'm going to strive to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I'm going to ask God to help me as husband and wife and father and mother to treat my family tenderly and to have compassion on them and to be long-suffering and to be loving in my relational connection with them and not to allow life to get me in a frenzy, so to speak, and to treat them less than they should be or in a way that would be dishonoring to the Lord. Now, for some, this is natural. You're naturally this way. For others, it's not as natural, and it may not be as easy for you. But I want to encourage all of us to begin practicing the tender treatment of our children and expressing this loving support. So through availability to children, through this tender treatment, last week, the unconditional commitment and the scheduled times together. But then number five, through frequent eye contact. Through frequent eye contact. Now, children need frequent eye contact with us. Frequent eye contact is a very effective way of communicating love to anyone. All of us husbands have been guilty from time to time of being in a conversation with our wife, and she's relaying to us some information, and lo and behold, we got sidetracked, and we got to reading something on the phone, or we got to looking at something else, and she continued speaking, and then she said, "Honey, did you get that?" And out of fear of not wanting to admit that we had gotten sidetracked, and frustrating her that we really didn't hear anything, we said, oh yeah, I got it. And then a day or a week or some time elapsed, and then all of a sudden something happened in our life and in our relationship, and she was on one page and we were on the other. And all of a sudden, there was a moment of tension and strife and frustration. And she's looking at us like, what are you doing? And we're looking at her like, what do you mean? And she's like, I told you about this. You're supposed to be doing this right now. And we're like, honey, you never told me anything about that. She's like, yes, I did. And it's because at some point in time, in a moment of communication, we were not paying attention. One of the things that can fix that is eye contact. And sometimes we communicate with people without making that eye contact. I understand that. But nothing has replaced the power of eye contact. We live in a culture and society where we can communicate with people through so many different means. And we can call someone. We can text them. We can instant message them. We can direct message them. We can email them. We can, you know, post something. I mean, it's amazing all of the venues with which we can communicate one with the other. But the truth of the matter is, nothing is as valuable, nothing is as powerful as eye-to-eye contact. And I want to encourage us this morning in our relationships in our home, have frequent eye contact. Husband and wife, have frequent times where you are communicating eyeball to eyeball. As moms and dads, have frequent time where you're communicating with your kids eyeball to eyeball, looking at them in the eye, hearing what it is that they're saying, communicating with them. I'm telling you, that very simple practical tip and practice will help you express loving support to them. It will help you to know where they're at. When you're looking in their eye, when you're reading the countenance of their face, it's helping you to determine and to discern, where is my child at? Where's their spirit? Where's their heart? How are they doing? So how can we express this loving support, frequent eye contact? Number six, listening in an understanding way. Listening in an understanding way. Now, the sixth aspect of communicating love to our children is listening and really, really working at it. Now, listening does not often come naturally, but there are some important notes and mentions that we can make this morning that will help you and I develop in the area of listening. And let's examine some characteristics of a good listener this morning. Letter A good listener desires eye contact with the speaker. And we stressed that a moment ago, but when our children come to speak to us, it means that we stop everything we're doing and we listen to them. Now, it may mean that we're training our children. There may be times where we're talking with our spouse or we're doing something else and they should not interrupt. And so they need to be trained. When mom and dad are talking, you wait or you say, please excuse me. Or when mom and dad are on the phone or involved in some other activity, you wait or you say, please excuse me. So recognizing the fact that there needs to be training in the home and children need to be taught when they can engage in communication with you. But when that happens, we want to look them in the eye and listen and connect and communicate with them. For instance, your kids may want to talk with you while you're reading the newspaper, or you're reading something on the phone or the iPad, or you're watching something on television, or you're doing, you know, something else or something in the garage, and your kids want to connect and want to communicate with you. And I want to encourage you this morning, when that happens, stop what you're doing, look your kids in the eye, and talk with them. There's going to be a day in your life and in mine where we would crave our kids wanting to talk with us. And there's going to be a time not that far from now where that's going to be less and less frequent. And what we want to do is take advantage of every opportunity we have now. And when our kids want to be with us, and when our kids want to talk with us, and when our kids want to connect, may you and I not be found too busy. May you and I not be found preoccupied. May you and I not be found out of priority. But may we focus on them, and may we really strive to listen and making that eye contact. Let her be a good listener. Never assumes he knows what the other person is saying. Being sure to hear them out. Sometimes we can react to something our kids are saying, and sure enough, that's not what they were saying at all. And we want to never assume. We want to make sure that we're getting it. We want to make sure that we're understanding it. And we want to make sure that we're allowing them the opportunity to clearly communicate to you and I. So not assuming what that we know what they're saying. Letter C, a good listener asks questions to clarify what the other person has said. And sometimes when you're in communication with your children or your spouse and you're trying to figure out what it is they're communicating with you, a good practice is just to ask them, honey, is this what you just asked me to do? Or son, is this what you're saying? Or daughter, is this how you're feeling? And ask them questions. Make sure you're on the same page. Make sure you're of one understanding, that they're communicating and connecting with you as they desire. So asking questions to clarify. Letter D, a good listener does not overreact to take immediate action. When you're hearing communication from your children, you don't want to be the kind of person that just overreacts and takes immediate action for a couple of reasons. Number one, you and I don't want to be the kind of person that people just know what buttons to push and it just sends us off. I had the privilege of administrating a school for a few years, and one of the practices that we had that we made known to the families was, we're not going to believe everything your children tell us about you as parents if you will not believe everything your children tell you about us as teachers and faculty and so forth. And because sometimes kids have a way of communicating something to their advantage or to meet their agenda. And that's true, and it's part of nature, and it's part of life. And we want to be careful in our lives as parents not to just hear something and then overreact and take immediate action. We don't want to be the kind that our children can just get us all worked up and either against our spouse or against some other authority in their life. You want to present to your children a unified front of authority. It should never be in the home that the children are getting mom and dad against one another. In our home, if you ask dad something, that's it. In our home, if you go ask mom something that you've already asked dad, seeking to get a different answer, it's an automatic spanking. Because we've trained our children that dad's voice and mom's voice are the same. The answer is the same. We're united. We are one. We're unified in our parenting. Now, that has come from conversations that Suzanne and I have had alone, structuring, where's our home going to be? Where are we going to draw the line in this area? What's our standard in this area? What's the conviction that God has given our hearts from His Word? And we've developed this structure for our home, and it has been clearly communicated, and it has been tenaciously trained, and now it is being held to that standard in our home, not making us great parents, but just things we've learned from other people that we're doing our best to implement. And I want to encourage you this morning to have the kind of home of unity. And then I want to encourage you under this point here to unify with authority in your home. Your children have teachers. Your children have Sunday school teachers. Your children have other authority figures in your life. And I want to encourage you to identify and align with authority. Now, there may be times that something happens in the life of your child with an authority figure where you need to go and speak to the authority figure. My wife and I have been in that situation before, and that needs to happen. But it should never be that you're speaking critical of that authority figure in front of your kids. You may need to go to the authority figure and work something out, but you're not to be critical of that authority figure in front of your kids, because what you're communicating to your kids, if you are, is that, hey, if you're having a problem with that teacher, you come to mom or you come to dad and we'll take care of it for you. That's not what the child needs. The structure the child needs is for the authority to all be in agreement. The Bible talks about the threefold cord. Boy, when the home and the church and the school are all working together, it's a beautiful thing. And what a great gift Christian education is, and how we thank the Lord for it. And that's another lesson. But we need to be sure not to overreact and take immediate action. The Bible says in James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And then letter E, a good listener does not ridicule his children for what they say. You and I may not understand what our children are saying, but we never want to get to the point where we're being critical of them or we're ridiculing them for their attempt to communicate and connect with you and I. We don't want to be saying things to our kids like, well, that's just stupid. I don't know why you feel that way. You shouldn't feel that way. I don't even know why you're saying this. This doesn't even matter. It's no big deal. It's just so stupid. We want to be careful in our communication with our children, not to be critical and not to be negative in our connection with them. And by that, I'm talking about in the ridiculing sense. God has given our children to us for the purpose of us to parent them. And we are to guide them. And part of that training process is discipline and all of that. And as the Bible teaches it, so I agree with it. But in our relationship with our children, God's not calling for you and I to be critical of them in an angry type sense. And it's certainly not wise for you and I to be ridiculing them. Our children need to know of our love. And if they're trying to communicate, have you ever seen your kid and you just knew their countenance wasn't right? You just knew something was heavy on their heart? And you start trying to connect with them and talk with them and find out what it is, and they're kind of having a hard time communicating it to you, and you feel frustrated because you don't want your child feeling heavy-hearted and not having any place to go. You want to try to help them. You want to try to help them work through it, but that communication barrier can be frustrating. And a good listener does not ridicule his children for what they say. He's striving to understand, expressing loving support through an understanding and listening ear. In his book, The Family That Listens, Dr. H. Norman Wright outlined some additional ideas about listening that I want us to look at very quickly this morning. First of all, parents must be careful not to stereotype their children. Must be careful not to stereotype their children. If your child is a complainer or a whiner or a bully or a procrastinator, if that's what you've kind of categorized them to be, then everything they say, that's the perspective and the paradigm from which you're going to hear it. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't stereotype your children. If there's something in your children's life that needs correcting, correct it. Help them, train them, teach them, work through it. But don't stereotype your child. Love your child. And when they speak to you, have an understanding and listening ear to the best of your ability. Secondly, people tend to listen 5 times as fast as another person can speak. So if your child is speaking at a rate of 100 words a minute, and if you're listening at a rate of 500 words a minute, then oftentimes you find yourself bored. I'll never forget Dr. R. in Bible college when he said, seek first to understand, then to be understood. And what he was teaching was, be careful in connecting with people that when they begin to tell you how they feel, that you've already jumped to the conclusion, you're just waiting for them to finish so you can give them what they need. No, seek first to understand, then to be understood. And with our children, we need to seek first to understand. We need to make sure we know what they're communicating. We need to make sure that we've connected and that we're on the same page. And then we can strive to help them and to work through whatever it is that's going on in their life. So be careful with that bit of information regarding listening and speaking. And thirdly, we need to listen with our entire bodies, not just our ears and our eyes. Now, we've spent some time on this morning, so we'll move quickly, but it's just vitally important for quality communication to take place that there's eyeball-to-eyeball contact, that there is engagement in the conversation, that we're not, you know, multitasking and doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that, but that we're focused on this person whom we love and whom the Lord gave to us, and we're striving to understand what they're saying and connect in the area of communication, with all of us and all that is in us focusing on that. So expressing loving support, a very important aspect in raising children. We can do it through an unconditional commitment. An unconditional commitment to our child. I'll love you no matter what. An unconditional commitment to our spouse. Hey, children, mom and dad are together till death do us part. You never need to worry about that. Home is secure and stable. Schedule time together. Having family nights, taking family vacation, having one-on-one time with kids. There's the insert in the bulletin today about the date ideas, and I encourage you, schedule it, execute it. You'll enjoy it. You'll benefit from it immensely. Availability to your kids, the tender treatment of your children, having that frequent eye contact and listening in an understanding way to the best of your ability. All of this is communicating love. It is increasing the worth and value of your children's heart and look of their own life in your eyes and from your perspective. Now, lastly, number 7, how can we express loving support to our children? Number 7, meaningful touching. Meaningful touching. The The last major way that we can express this loving support to our children is through meaningful touching. And I want to pause right here and say that I know in our culture and society, because of the perverseness and because of the wickedness, that oftentimes when we talk about touching, and even to children, that there's almost a sexual overtone and some hesitancy that comes with that. And God help us for the wickedness in this society and the perverseness by which we see. But I want to tell you something. As you and I are given children as God's gift to us, His heritage, and as we train them and nurture them in the mission of the Lord, there is a place for meaningful touching when it comes to expressing our loving support of our children. There's an importance of touching our children and hugging our children. And I want to encourage the parents in class this morning and those maybe that will listen online to engage in meaningful touching with your children. Dad, when's the last time you've held your daughter's hand? When's the last time you put your arm around her? When's the last time you gave her a hug and a kiss and you told her, looking at her in the eye, that you loved her and that she was special to you and that you were just so thankful that God gave her to you? I'm telling you something. Something's going to change in her body not too many years from now, and she's going to have a light going off inside and saying, boy, I need to be noticed and I need to be loved and I need to be special to somebody and I need to be somebody's number one. And if there's not a relationship developed between you as dad and her as daughter where that affection is being given, you're going to be hurting. It's sad in America today that some 70% of graduates from high schools in the United States of America graduate with their virginity lost. It's sad today of the sexual activity of minors, but you want to know why? It's dad's fault. There's a relationship that is to be cultivated there with father and daughter, and there is to be something that is to be treasured, and there is something that is to be communicated. And when that is gone, there's a void in her heart and in her light that she is striving to see fulfilled in any way she can, and she'll give her body to some punk, and she'll give her body to some jerk so that she can have these needs of her heart fulfilled. And dad, that's my job, and that's your job. And may you and I take this expressing love and support seriously. And may you and I say, hey, we're going to make sure our kids know that we love them, and we're going to hold their hand, and we're going to give them a hug, and we're going to embrace them, and we're going to convince them, hey, dad, hey, mom, we love you. We love you. Meaningful touch. Boy, it ought to be that maybe on the way to school, honey, can I hold your hand today on the way to school while you're in the car? It ought to be at night, after family devotions and before bed, maybe right after prayer. All right, give mom and dad a hug and kiss goodnight. And making sure all of the children have a moment to hug and kiss mom and dad. Dad, if you take the kids to school in the morning as I do, making sure to give mom a hug and kiss before you leave. If you have kids still at home, as I do when you go to work, make sure you give them a hug and kiss in the morning before you go. Our children are precious. They are God's gift to us. God said, suffer not the little children. God said, I want to be around them. They were that valuable to Him, and He gave them to us. They're valuable. They're important. They're to be cherished. And I encourage you this morning, express loving support to your kids in all of these areas that we've talked about, and in this area of meaningful touch. In the reading and research I've done for these lessons and series, I'll end with this. One of the things I read was, for a child to fully benefit from meaningful touch from their parents, it says that parents should make a conscious effort to meaningful touch their children 8 to 12 times a day. Now, I'm not advocating to take a 3x5 card and a pen and, you know, walk by your kid and put your arm around them. All right, that's number one. And hold their hand a little later. All right, that's number two. Okay, now, I'm not advocating that. And I'm not advocating to, you know, kind of keep track of it. Okay, I got you at 8 today, you know. I'm not advocating all of that. But what I am saying is, as mom and dad, let's examine these areas by which we could express loving support. And let's examine our own lives and our home and our relationships and say, God, helping me, how can I better express loving support to my children? How can I convince them that I'm thankful God gave them to me? And I don't know what we'll face in life, and I don't know what we'll go through, but nothing will ever change the fact that I love them. And I want them to be convinced of that, because the foundation of that will create an opportunity for me to train, to teach, to direct their hearts and their lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the privilege that we've had to meet together this morning. God, I pray that you would help us this week to express loving support in our homes. Would you bless every family in our class? And Lord, would you build a hedge of protection about their home? And may this week our homes bring you honor and glory. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I sure love you. Thanks for being here today. You are dismissed.